consequence.
Mm. There was a soothsayer who says, "Beware the Ides of March." The kind of environment that would make a Gen Z cry if they had to spend just 1 hour there.
There was another smell that came into the mix. This one was moving.
There will be three signs that I will predict.
But the feeling I got was intense fear. Fear that my life would be in danger if I stayed one more night.
Is anyone here?
What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions. Supernatural Confessions is a safe space for anyone who have had a paranormal encounter and want to be able to tell their story to a community who will not ridicule them. Some of us have experienced the unexplainable ourselves, while the rest of us simply enjoy listening to ghost stories. If you or someone you know have had an encounter to share, get in touch with us through our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Beware the Ides of March. That's the inspiration for today's theme as Friday Night Live show falls on the 15th of March. Today we bring you confessions from real people who had a peek behind the curtains of destiny, saw the glitch in the matrix. There's a nurse who is able to smell the scent of death before the Reaper comes. The grandfather who knew exactly when he was going to die, and the student who narrowly escaped death because he was aided by a ghost. All these stories and more on today's podcast theme of Things to Come, only on Supernatural Confessions. Enjoy. Good Friday evening, everybody. Welcome back to Friday Night Live with us, your host. And on the right screen, that is Jonathan Lim for Tale as Old as Time, the immortal. No one knows how old he really is. And
older than time itself.
And I'm Eugene Tay, your Prince of Paranormal, the Sultan of Supernatural, at your service every Friday evening without fail.
Mustn't forget the Minister of Supernatural Affairs.
Okay, so must thank this very important people. Without you guys, not possible. We close shop because I need to cannot do this every Friday.
Okay.
This our patrons. There are a few names this week as well. I think there's Erica Toh who signed up for all of 1 week. I think she just wanted to give me something lah. You know, so pop in 1 week. But Elaine Chua, Tengku Alsatian, Mko Grim, ZP Matt, Queen Lai, Lim Tech Chuan, Elwin Sensei, VL, KC Chan, Alexa O, Janice Ang, Jacqueline N, Yong Kwan Yu, Han Jae, Jerwin, Dato Easy, Starving Jack. What I love about this sentient entities is they refuse to budge from their spot. You can see the names are there from the dawn of time. I love you guys. Thank you. Also, Joel Goh, Lao Chiao to the max. Deborah Confield as well from London. Jia King Toh, Linda Hayden, Eliex, Jess Neo, Jerry Fish, Bibit Teo, Tay Hak Wee, Two Cents, Elvin Lim, Kenny Polaris, Giantty, TTB, Jujube, ZP, Devin Des, Gary Fu, Isaac Lam, Martin, Don, and this week's new entry, Ed A, along with Erica Teo. Also in Restless Souls, we have Su Chieto, Grace Chai, Candy Chia, Ron K, Jack Ong, Nicholas Pua, Burke, Serene Tan, Rachel Y, Calvin C, Lechmi, Julian Teo, David, and I believe someone else is making a comeback. She said, I'm sorry, I see my the account just ended, but she didn't renew. But yeah, she's making a comeback soon as well. The theme is on.
Yes.
Of things to come. Premonitions and omens.
So tell us why you chose this theme.
Because today, the 15th of March, is the day Roman Emperor Caesar got murdered. And right before his death, there was a soothsayer who says, "Beware the Ides of March."
No, I think he would have said it in Latin, but okay, never mind.
Subtitle, Beware the Ides of March.
All right. And what are the Ides of March?
It Yeah, see, you catch me like that. Forgot. But it's about
you stay one, okay?
Yeah, I so much very bad thing. But it's all about premonition and giving of omens. So I thought I would celebrate that day and with the theme about premonitions and omens. I think, John, shall we start with the very first?
Can
kickstart that, then we can carry on the discussion after that.
Come, let's open the box.
Okay. This confession is called, but I already know how I'm going to die. Yeah, sorry, hold on. Wow. Paisa, give me a minute. Cannot read on a dry throat. And I do want to thank Sean Chen for this bottle of wine.
Oh.
Wine of Chile.
Wow. Capsef.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, come. Tell us the title again. I see people tell you, oh my God, don't shout into the mic. You see lah.
I give you ASMR first, okay?
Oh, Terry Fu has requested a song, Rent by the Pet Shop Boys. Oh, okay, interesting. Let me go and do my research.
Okay, ready, yeah, John?
Here we go.
But I already know how I'm going to die. Confession by Catherine L. Eugene and John, thank you for the beautiful Kampong Confessions last week. And to guest Sarafian too, who was very knowledgeable. It was one of the best episodes in my opinion. Speaking of Kampong stories, it reminds me of a story about my grandfather during my version of Kampong Days. It should also fit in with the upcoming theme about omens. I was in my teens when my grandfather passed away. He must have been in his 70s and could foretell how he was going to die. Please bear with me as I give you the background details so that this confession will make sense. My grandfather was a very tough man. He served during the wartime and grew up in environments that were very harsh. The kind of environment that would make a Gen Z cry if they had to spend just 1 hour there. He walked around bare-bodied, rain or shine, with just an oversized pair of boxers and his brown rubber slippers. He shared a two-bedroom apartment in Toa Payoh Lorong 2 with my grandma, where I had spent many nights sleeping over during the school holidays. Since I could remember, I've never seen my grandfather being ill. No runny nose, no cough, no flu, no usual old people ailments. He's a very heavy chain smoker, and he drank his coffee black, no sugar, from a large metal container. Food was optional. Cigarettes were not. His favorite brands were Rothmans and Consulate. Back then, there were no age limitations on who could purchase cigarettes, and I would be my grandfather's runner to the nearby Econ Minimart. He would cycle everywhere on his rickety old Ape bike. It was one with the black metal frame, single gear, and curved handlebars. Put a wicker basket behind, and by today's standard, this would be called a hipster bike. The family was concerned about his health and safety, despite acknowledging how fit he was, and nagged him to tone down his lifestyle a notch or two, to relax. Grandpa would nod his head in agreement, but still go about doing whatever he wanted to. I remember there's one conversation that I overheard my mom had with my grandfather that left a lasting impression in my young mind. Dad, you cycle anyhow? Wait, one day you cannot knock down how? My mother chided my grandfather. Yeah, but I already know how I'm going to die, Grandpa replied. You will be at home. Yes, but one thing will lead to another. You just need to be careful. It's about time already, my mother said. The absurdity of this exchange stuck in my head. I remember thinking to myself, many, many years since then, how could anyone know when they are going to die? Later on, years after his passing, the line, "It will be at home," clicked in my head, and I begin to understand why he's out most of the time and only came home to sleep. Even when he's home, he'll be smoking outside the house at a small side table along the block corridor. My mother's reply was no less cryptic, but I didn't confront her about that until I was an adult and the weight of that statement dawned on me. Shortly after that exchange, maybe within a span of a month or two, Grandpa slipped and fell while showering and had his foot lodged inside the squatting toilet bowl at an odd angle that it broke his ankle in two places. He was going to be immobile for a while. I could tell that Grandpa was getting restless at home. For someone who was always on the move, being stuck at home must be killing him. In his case, literally. I knew Grandmother well, but I didn't really have the same bond with my grandfather. When I stayed over during the holidays, I would hardly see him either, because he would be out of the house early before I woke and home late after I've slept. Seeing him during the June holiday of 85 was probably the first and last time I got to spend quality time with him. Grandfather passed away on the 30th of June. Prior to that, he had been talking about the end being near and that it was inevitable. I laughed and told him that he was being a big drama mama and that no one ever died from a broken leg. He just nodded in reply, as he always did. So you can't really tell if he's agreeing with you or he's just ending the conversation. Mom and Dad visited often too, which I don't recall them doing with such frequency during the other holidays I was there. This time, there was something different about their visits. They would huddle together for adult conversations that I was not allowed to participate, which I didn't mind because that means I get to play my Western Bar handheld console undisturbed for hours. On the night of 29th of June, I was allowed to sleep past midnight and we all hang around Grandpa to have a chat. I don't recall what time I eventually went to bed, but by the next morning, I learned that Grandpa had passed away in his sleep. This didn't bother me as much then, but there was always this nagging thought that some things were really off about my family during that time. A decade odd later, during Qingming, I broached a topic with my mom. Mom, how did you and Grandpa know that he was going to die? Mom, without breaking a beat, turned to me and said, because Grandpa died clinically before he was resuscitated. This was before he married your grandma even. Since then, he could just see the future. The things he knows are uncanny. In the early days, he said he told people what to look out for, but instead of being appreciative, they would say he had cursed them and with bad luck because what he said came true. Eh, like that, why isn't our family super rich? Grandpa can see what horse to bet on what, I ask. He can only look specifically into a person's life, crossroads, accidents and death. If only he can see lottery numbers too, huh? We're all very different story already. He can see ours too? Yeah, he saw all of ours already. But I told him, no need to tell us. I'd rather not know. Speak for yourself. I'd rather know, lor. You think knowing the future is easier? It affected your grandpa a lot. That's why he isolated himself, because he can't help knowing. And it's worse when he can't control anything. Then why didn't he see the accident at home? Because things that happen at home are blocked from his sight. There was a long pause as I mulled over this conversation. And then my mom continued. Remember when I told you that you weren't allowed to go to chalet for one of your friend's birthday party? You made a lot of noise, banged the doors and all, but I still kept saying you can't go? I nodded, vaguely recalling the incident. That's because your grandpa saw that you were going to get into an accident.
Jang, jang, jang. Wow, nice. Thank you, Catherine, for that confession. Wow. A lot of people are saying that they find that grandfather very recognizable. It's that kind of dude from that kind of period, you know, very hardy, all weather kind of uncle, you know. No need shirt, then the boxers, and the slipper, and the bicycle, and the black coffee. I think my grandpa was exactly the same.
It's a standard grandfather template.
Yeah, I think that was the template. That in those days, life was hard, so there's no time to be unique and original. Mm-hmm. Everyone just follow the neighbor, the same type of person, you know? Wow. So all along, he could see the future ever since that near-death incident, right? Yeah. Actually, not near-death. He actually did die, right? Yeah. So, yeah. And yet, it was a kind of it was not something that he could act on, right? It was only something he could tell people or not tell people,
Yeah,
right. So, my question is: was something compromised when the mom acted on that information, told him not to go to the chalet, and change the future. We all know you're not supposed to do that. So he didn't have that accident at the chalet. So how Marty McFly, how?
When it comes to premonition and affecting, you know, the whole butterfly flaps his wing in China, tornado,
the butterfly effect.
There's so many ways that this can go into a sci-fi territory, but I'm just going to handle Grandpa step by step, okay? Because it's a very long confession and there's a lot of backstory to it.
Okay, so we don't worry about the sequel, okay? Yeah. That's the sequel.
What interests me is how Grandpa got his power. Then let we slowly unfold to the future, okay?
Okay.
When we ask about people with powers of premonition, we always think, if I could only see the future, isn't that a good thing? And the first thing that anyone would ask is, can C4D not know? Bitcoin price, what to sell?
Because we Chinese.
But there's a limit to where the premonition can reach to. And most times you're burdened with the knowledge. And there are times where you're moving yourself out of the equation, or you cannot even mention it, or you want to mention it, but it changes things. Then you are sitting there and watching a train wreck. It's fine if it's people you don't know, but it's worse when it's your loved ones.
Correct.
And remember the mother said, don't tell us, we don't want to know. But Grandpa knew. Can you imagine the amount of pain he would have to sit with seeing, let's say, for example, his loved ones say, I'm going to go swimming. And he knows, like, tell you means I might possibly die because I will take on your death because I've now interrupted the karma, the karmic flow. If I don't say, then you die. Then as a grandfather, I feel that I've not done my job. It's a burden.
I can agree that it can drive you crazy, right? This knowledge that you can't do anything with, right? And you can't do anything about, right? But at the same time, I can also imagine a different type of person being able to achieve a level of acceptance with this knowledge. So it really depends on the psychological makeup of the person.
Yeah.
You know, I think most people would just freak out because I think it's very natural to want to act on information received, right? You know, want to save people. But I guess if you zen enough, you know, and you understand that these things must happen, then that knowledge doesn't hurt you, you know, but yeah, you got to meditate a lot to get there.
I think Grandpa is at that stage. Like most people can barely even keep a secret. Try telling someone a secret, the gossip comes out next day.
Correct.
Grandpa has achieved the state of zenness where he's just, I go cycle my own, I'm going out the house. I don't know you, don't care. Yeah, very stoic.
You know, and just chatting about small things. And whenever you bring it up, he also doesn't try to pursue it. You know, he just lets the subject drop. So yeah, I think he's figured out how to live with it, you know. It's interesting that there's a blind spot in this knowledge, right? So things that supposedly things that happen at home, he cannot see, right? So he couldn't see the accident and perhaps he couldn't see exactly how he was going to die or when he was going to die, you know. He just knew it was going to be at home, right? You know, and that's quite interesting because is that why he avoided being at home so much?
That's what the confessor is insinuating as well. Like, as years go by, of course, when they were younger, you know, she was younger, it did not cross her mind. But as she's an adult now, she's thinking back, you know, all the words that come in. It's like, Grandpa is rarely at home. So is that a coincidence where old grandfathers just generally want to stay at home? I got two grandfathers, one maternal side, paternal side. Paternal side loves to just stay home and sleep. That's where my dad got his sleeping genes from, and probably I get mine too. But the maternal side is never around also, always out. And they like to hang around Thieves Market, you know, the old Thieves Market. He'll buy radio parts, he'll fix it himself, he'll repair. That's his kind of hobby.
Interesting. I mean, it's very telling that he set up a table outside the corridor too small, you know, right? So it's like, on one hand, it could just be that, you know, the grandma said, don't you dare smoke in the house. But on the other hand, you know, it could very much be because outside the door means he's safe.
Yeah. So for grandpa's behavior, I cannot clearly say just from reading this confession, he's escaping at home. You know, no evidence of that, but certainly his lack of presence at home coincide with this whole idea that he thinks he will die at home. But when I listen to how Catherine narrates about the grandfather, it doesn't seem to me that the grandfather is a person that is afraid of death or trying to escape it. He didn't come across that guy.
I think I mean he clearly did know that time was coming, right? And he doesn't specify how. He sort of knew that the date due was coming. But I like the idea that he was making peace with it as he went along, lah.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, clearly some arrangement was made that the parents came for the extra special visit and then they were all having these conversations, you know, this adult conversation. So everyone was preparing for his death with that shared knowledge. And I think that's a remarkably mature and sensible way to deal with that knowledge, you know?
If
put all your affairs in order, all, you know?
I put myself in the shoes of a grandfather. I would have technically died a long time ago. Any time between that point of time I was on the hospital bed till this time I died, it's all bonus. I would have a very different perspective of life, really.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
To get to your question, I think now this is where it unfolds to this part is, did Grandpa sacrifice his life to save a potential accident that could have befallen a granddaughter?
Huh?
When he said, you know, giving some info about telling the granddaughter not to go for the chalet. Could that have affected him?
He didn't tell. It was the mom who told. Right? Yeah, so,
still what your heaven's secret has been divulged, right?
I think we're connecting two events that are connected in a web, but not directly connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many other accidents would he have to then, you know, take care of? You know, is she the only one who's going to have an accident, you know? Or is she going to have a whole series of accidents throughout her life because she's quite clumsy? You know, we don't know, right? It's the only one that we are told because the mom brought it up. So it looms very large in the story, lah.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would connect Grandpa's choice with this accident.
Okay, I'm looking at the comments from Daryl, Frankie, a few others as well, saying that, you know, Grandpa has disrupted a canonical event. Yeah.
You mean by his surviving of when, in other words, his very existence past that point, right? And marrying Grandma was already not supposed to happen. Wow, then this whole family should never have existed, you know. So it's a major disruption. Yeah. So the chalet thing is not very significant compared to the whole grandpa's life, right? Living on borrowed time. Wow, interesting.
Well, what I love about this is the fact that the greatest thing about having premonition is knowing when you're going to go so that you could plan your exit in the way that you want. And like everyone's around you, the granddaughter can get to stay up past 12 o'clock on that day. You know, you have a proper goodbye. So yeah, I think that's the silver lining of it.
Ramat is sharing a nice story. Ramat Styles is saying, 3 months before my son was born, my late father had this feeling that his time was almost up. Still, he passed in the middle of Ramadan. Okay. Tell us a little bit more, if you can, Ramat, about the feeling. What was it? You know, what kind of, was it a vision? Was it a dream? Was it a sensation? You know, how did he figure it out, right? Timothy is asking a very interesting question. Just because one knows how oneself will die specifically in the future, does that mean predestination? Maybe the vision will change if one makes big enough changes to avoid it. So that brings us into the science fiction territory. The sliding doors kind of territory. Yeah? You know, if Grandpa knew that he was going to die at home, and if he really, really stubbornly don't go home, could he avoid that? Right? You know, what happened if that day that he was supposed to go, he really wasn't at home? You know what will happen? Will it be a final destination situation where you skip the slot, then death has to go on overtime and hunt you down? You know, I recently rewatched all the Final Destination movies, right? 1 to 5 in a row. And it's really quite fascinating because if I was death, I'll be very pissed off. People keep trying to squeal out of it, you know, and then I have to go and hunt them down. It's as if, like, imagine if you are the librarian and you have to go and personally go and knock on doors for people to return overdue books. It's like, bloody hell, there's a deal here, okay? There's a deal. You owe me this, all right? But, I mean, of course, from the human perspective, very different, right? And is it possible to change what is predestined, right? Or at least what is pre-announced, right? Having that vision of the future does that mean you now have a coupon to go try to change it? Or is it just for you to know and make your peace with? Right? Fundamentally. See, suck your teeth.
So,
you know, right?
Two school of thoughts. One school of thought is you know, you make change, it affects things. Another school of thought, and I spoke about this to from a Taoist master, is this. You know, don't know. You can't make any change. It will happen. Okay. You know, right. To him, like, it's in the books. You can
That's
try to run.
Nah.
Yeah.
Okay, predestined. Okay. Right. So would you not try?
Try? Of course I'll try. If I know I'm gonna die, I'll try. But I think you know, how it works is, let's say for example, same case as grandpa, right? If I don't go home, I won't die. So at least I leave the family for all my life, lah. Somewhere, somehow, I might get a message coming, say, can you come back? So and so, your loved one is very sick, want to see you for one last time. Then you're like, God damn it. Don't go, cannot. Because, you know, you cannot live with yourself. Can you live for an eternity in regret, not having said your last goodbye? You know you're going to go, and then you're going to go like, shit, lah, this is a setup for me to just be taken down. And most people, if you even look at Hollywood movies, they would still go down that route, knowing that will be their final time. So I think if you take what the Taoist master said, that no matter how it is, if that's your path, it's your path, you will not change it. It's really written.
Yeah.
It may look like an option, but it's not.
Mr. David is giving you a sneaky way out, right? Some monks can do fake funeral for you or something to change your fate or luck.
Yeah, we talked about
you
that.
Can do a dummy death, lah. Dummy death, right? If you know what the accident is, then you put someone else in the car. No, like, cannot, lah, right? How like that? You know? It's very tricky.
Maybe what Jonathan did. That's why Jonathan is immortal. Never grow old, live forever. He's hinting to you guys what he has done.
So whenever I ask you, hey, come, take train with me. Yeah. You know, it means that train's going to crash.
There's a message from Elle. She wrote a comment. I'd like to read this out. She says, I'm Chinese, but can't read more than 4 or 5 words in Chinese. Many years ago, I had a dream of a single Chinese word. When I told my colleague about my dream and wrote the word out for her, she pulled out her Chinese English dictionary and managed to track the word down. The word translated to omen. I was a little spooked, but couldn't do much about it. And around half a year later, I got into an accident that could have taken my life. Was the dream a premonition? But the dream only gave you one word. They would tell you what to do.
Some more a word that you didn't understand.
Oh, not very useful. Whoever tried to save your life, not very helpful.
And it's half a year later, right? So it's a little bit vague in terms of time, in terms of clarity. It's tricky, right? So I mean, okay. So Eugene is dying to talk about these two words, omen and premonition. Okay, so this is a very good segue. Thank you, Elle, for that. So tell us, what's the difference, Eugene, between an omen and a premonition? Because both have come up.
Sure. So
okay,
to me, premonition comes from within you. Either you have the power, or the message comes into your mind, but the knowledge of the future is from within. You know it. You just know it.
Okay.
Omens are signs, external, giving you signals, but it's not from within. Like, say, for example, a crow flies into a glass, breaks its neck, lands on the floor. You go like, shit, that looks like a bad omen, but I have no idea what you're trying to tell me. Premonition, you know. Omens, you don't. And omens, you probably need to accumulate more signals, and usually doesn't end well. Omens doesn't end well. Premonition, there could be a positive outcome. It's just more like the Matrix has a glitch and you saw the future.
Okay. I like that. For me, it's similar, you know, but I draw the line even finer. Right, I see them as very much two sides of the same incident, of the same coin. Right, so let's say, okay, a bird flies into a window and breaks its neck.
Yeah,
that is the omen side of things, the external phenomenon. The person who looks at it and goes, oh, someone's gonna die, that's the premonition.
Yes.
The person who looks at the same thing and goes, "Aiyah, stupid but so clumsy." No premonition.
No premonition.
Right. So the premonition is what allows you to interpret, right? It is the act of reading the sign, as well as, of course, internal knowledge, right? But if there's an external omen,
yeah,
there's no guarantee that the omen means anything. It must become a premonition.
Ah.
Before you can make a horror movie about it, right? If it doesn't become a premonition, then the omen cancels itself out. It's just natural phenomenon. A tree falling is a tree falling, mm-hmm, but if a tree falling and gives you the shivers, then you are into premonition territory. Mm. So the omen is something passive, mm, until the premonition turns it into something meaningful. Mm. 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 You know, it's like a cat, black cat crosses your path. To someone else, it leads to a premonition. To other people, it leads to tummy rubs, right? So, you know, right? So I think it's about the omen being the object and then the premonition being the subject interpreting it, right? Yeah.
I like that.
So you need both, lah. You need both. You need both, right? Can't have an omen without someone to feel the premonition, you know.
Sean Chen was sharing something. Many people told me my death, go church, pray, still alive. My mother, same. Pray and avoided death, but of course went through hell. Omen is open to interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, we talk about like so many things in cultures that are superstitious, right? They are pantang, right? You know, and those are just catalogs of omens, right? You know, people talk about like all these like end times kind of signs, right? Portents, right? Yeah, portents. Those are also omens, right? Those are omens also, right? Yeah. And I mean, if you taking a GM approach to it, right? You know, horror movies are swimming with omens, right? If you remember, again, going back to The Final Destination, because, you know, some value must come out of the fact that I spent 10 hours watching the whole series. Every time someone was going to die, if you guys remember, there were omens.
Yeah.
Right, there will suddenly be like a certain word will be highlighted, the bus will go by and they'll see something there, but the person will always be too stupid to figure it out. So no premonition, only omen, or rather premonition for the audience, but the character doesn't get it, right? But the omen is there, right? So that's how that system works, lah. The omen premonition continuum, okay?
Omen premonition continuum. I love that. We are making stuff up. It's by the order of the MSA, man.
Yes.
Very good.
Okay.
Wow, we got, now it's 10:45. We got two more good confessions to go to. Shall we hit for the next one, John?
Can. Okay. Oh, I like this one. This one very, very puzzling.
Which one have you picked?
This one is the one that I never expected this way of knowing the future. It's such an unpredictable way. And I don't even have a name for this. Wow. Center of a Reaper.
Okay. After finish with that confession, later on in the mid-time portion, I want to share with you my own story. Happened to me, real life. Okay?
Can.
So this one is Scent of a Reaper by Nurse Sabrina. Take it away, John.
Most people that you interviewed have the third eye. For me, I can't see ghosts or spirits, but I can smell them. I worked in one of the local hospitals for about a decade before moving on to working for a private practice. During that time, I was able to correctly predict when and who was going to die by smell. How do I explain this? I would describe death as having an earthly scent, like fresh cut grass and wet soil. When I first began to realize this smell pattern, I was just a student nurse, first week on the job. The scent came primarily from an elderly female amputee patient who was in a lot of pain. If she wasn't sleeping, she would cry out in dialect asking for help. Initially, I assumed that the wet soil scent was her soiling herself, but that was not it. I couldn't find the source anywhere, and when I checked with my seniors, no one could smell it. The smell would come and go. It wasn't there all the time. When I'm consciously trying to smell it, it would be gone. When I'm just going about doing my things, it would suddenly come back. Then, one night, there was another smell that came into the mix. This one was moving, and it smelled like rotten eggs. Pungent but subtle, like someone farted. Except, instead of lingering, the cloud of scent could move. I noticed this scent first along a corridor, and then it followed me past the nurse's station and into the ward. I followed it out of curiosity. At this time, the patient was awake, and she was crying, but not crying in pain. She had her head tilted away from me, looking, but I could see her mouth moving as if she was talking to someone. And then she reached out her hand as if someone was holding it. And then she closed her eyes and went to sleep. Both smells dissipated. Somehow I knew then. I don't know how I knew, but I just knew the patient had died. And I was right. This pattern happened many more times over the years that led me to believe that it can't just be a coincidence. Scent of death. I'm surprised that the scent of death is wet soil and cut grass. Because I would then panic a lot every time, like, every time after the rain and whenever NParks has been round, you know, I'm like, someone's gonna die. Once a month, yeah. When the grass cutters come, we're like, oh no, you know, okay, not to make fun, but it's
I'm also wondering if different smell different people would smell it differently.
Well, I mean, the fact that some people smell nothing, so I suggest that the smell is not an objective thing, right? It's not a specific thing, right? It is subjective, right? So you're saying that it's more about her and what about her would connect death with summer, you know, and grass, right? And parks.
And fun.
You know? Yeah. The eggs part, okay lah. I mean, that's a bit sulfurous, right? So,
sulfur and brimstone. I can still go with that. Yeah.
I mean, okay, to be very frank, I cannot conjure that because I don't think I've ever smelled rotten eggs in my life. So I don't know, right? I have not had the fortune of smelling rotten eggs. So I don't know.
Obviously not traveled during peak hour in public transport.
What do you mean? What smells like rotten eggs on a crowded train?
There's fart, there's bad breath. I tell you, sometimes in the morning when you go out, sometimes I got a meeting and I have to leave at 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm stuck in public transport. And then someone let go something. And it's understandable. No, farting is part of human bodies. I have nothing against some farting. In fact, I do welcome fart and burps and sneezes and all that. But you know, it's in the morning, I haven't had my coffee, I'm grumpy, I'm crowded, some people don't shower. And then I smell smell.
Now, after hearing this confession, you got to watch out. Okay? It might be that someone's
dying. So you'll be more sympathetic.
Yeah.
Instead of saying,
you must trace the fart. Trace the fart first. Right.
Instead of saying, hey, who fart? You can say, hey, who dying?
Yeah, I think you need to trace the fart first and then see if you cannot find the source, then someone's going
to... John, how are you going to trace the fart? Sniff people's backside, is it?
I don't know. You're the one who takes the train. You go figure it out. Wow. Okay, let's see what the rest of you guys are saying. Any fart suggestions? Yeah, let me see. We missed a chat.
We did. Oh, Raven! Thank you. Wow, Raven. Strong supporter. Good evening, guys. Haha. Why every time I come in always will be two more confessions? You know, Raven, we start at 10. 10 p.m. Is it you? Daylight saving time.
Think of this as predestined, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, got story here. From Day Lily Spirit. I was on holiday with three other friends. One night I dreamt the bed I was sleeping on folded in half and closed on me, and I struggled to escape. I told my friends about this silly dream. Then, a few days later, in a different country, in our room, we used a game and I got the extra bed. The next morning, I woke up while talking to my friends and my bed suddenly closed on me. Okay, this is what I would call a very one-for-one premonition. Okay, very direct. good to know. Okay, how does a bed close on you? What does that mean? Painful now, like that. I don't know.
You know, those old school bed, the one like, you know, you fold half one, the metal, the spring one.
So if, if you're lying on your back, then okay, that's not too frightening. If you're lying on your front, then die already. Yeah. So, okay. I'm sure I've seen that scene before in some...
It's Saw.
No. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is it?
Yes. Oh. One of somebody's boyfriend was killed by the bed being folded. I think so. Like folded in half and then like, the head and the feet were like... Yeah, so... Wow. Okay, Daphne is telling me, John, chemistry experiments with sulfuric acid. Oh, wow. Are you sure rotten eggs smell that bad? Really? How rotten are your eggs? How many years old? I remember sulfuric acid experiments. Okay. Who has a third eye for farts? Any color to it?
Green. I'll tell you, if there's a fart like that, it's green. And a tinge of yellow.
Yeah,
okay, there's a Dice Punk studio saying my granny also had an almost pleasant smell of petri chaw before she passed. Only my young toddler cousin and I remarked on it. Not strictly a paranormal occurrence, but interesting nonetheless. What's the smell of petri chaw?
I don't know. What is petri chaw? Sounds familiar.
But chaw, I know. Petri chaw, I don't know.
But Sean Chen is saying my mom smelled rotten smell when spirits are within the vicinity. Oh. Actually, that is true. There are statements of people sensing the presence of evil with the smell, right? You know, in the old days when fire and brimstone was popular, right? That was always the smell of demonic presences, right?
John, I got an idea.
What?
I share it here with you only, okay? Don't tell people.
I think I know already. Yes.
Next time in a crowded lift, and I let one go. Many people say, hey, why so smelly, Eugene, your fart? I go, shh, evil is around us. It's a cooler way, right? Or say, yeah, I fart. No, just evil looks near.
No, lah, you work on the empathy, lah. When they turn around and say, did you fart? Then, no, I'm dying. Then they feel bad for you. Oh, someone said, oh, wow, Mr. David says, pochong always comes with a bad smell. Yeah lah, rotting corpse ma.
Petri chaw is the smell of earth after rain, something like that. The cut grass lah.
Oh, right.
The cut grass smell is the petri chaw. I learned something new today, guys. Thank you so much.
Yay, petri chaw. Petri chaw, okay. Oh. Wow. Chupalo santo your ass, Mr. David says. Yes. I agree totally. Okay, back to the So you spoke to the nurse, right?
Yeah.
To Sabrina.
Yeah.
So is it something that was an ability that was there throughout her lifetime?
No, she said she only she said when it came to become, when she realized it becomes like a pattern, it was only when she's working as a nurse. So I said, was it before that? She says, don't know, can't tell. So maybe it was there, but because it's not so consistent, so you don't lock it in your head. But when she was a nurse, then that's when she really was every week someone's dying. She gets the pattern, and then she realized, after some time, there is a pattern to this.
Did she ever like speak to anyone about it or try to sort of make use of that ability, like, you know, go and hang around the palliative ward and sort of sniff the patients?
No, she didn't go into palliative ward. So now she's actually doing private nursing nothing to do with death at all. She says she's done with that. She doesn't want to do it. But before she retired, she was in the nursing field. I mean, she's still a nurse now, but when you're talking about hospital, she was there for about a decade. And she said before she left, she don't always do this because she just doesn't know how to broach the topic. But there's one time she says, I'm going to retire. I'm going to quit already. So why not just ask? And it was this lady who was very conversant with me. And she says, I think you are about to go. So why don't you make preparations? And she did it in a very kind manner.
Wow.
And she made sure that the person was able to handle the news. So I think she did her due diligence. She talked to her, she laid the ground, and she said, okay, maybe this lady she can be honest with. And she said, Lee told her, yes, I know. I've seen my relatives. They all told me they are there waiting for me any day now. So then she's thinking, this is this hypothesis level, right? Do all the people who die at the point they die, maybe even a few seconds, a few minutes prior, do they know they're going to go? Can they see the Reaper?
Mm.
And when people don't want to go, they struggle to leave. Is it because they know and they don't want to leave? Those that know, you notice like from our stories last year, our confession about hospital stories, one of the signs of someone's going to go is that within that 24 hours, they start to miraculously get slightly better.
Yeah, yeah.
They cannot talk, can talk, suddenly can open eyes, can eat at one last meal, then they go. Mm.
I mean, I think that's quite that's quite parahantu, because there is the need for the body to also carry out its sort of last bit of business, right? Mm. So there will be a sudden surge of energy, a sudden stronger will, you know, because the body knows that last chance, right? Last chance, I have to say goodbye, I have to do this, I have to do that, you know? And at the same time also, I think there are ways that our mind tries to prepare ourselves for the passing, you know? And so some people suggest that, you know, the relatives that come and the visions of death and all, you know, the visions of angels, whatever, right? Yeah. Is something that you need psychologically, right? It is the packaging that you need to proceed with less fear. Right, to acclimatize yourself to what's coming. So depending on your faith, depending on what you expect death to be, you know, your mind will immediately conjure up that frame, lah. You know, we'll add a filter to the whole thing so that you can go, okay, it's not that bad, it's not that terrifying, right? So on the other hand, of course, you know, a lot of people believe that it's something external, lah, right? So, you know, whether it's horse face and ox head, or whether, you know, I think it's a very necessary thing, because I think mankind is fundamentally built to be afraid of fear. Right? And so much of religion and culture since the beginning of time has been us trying to make ourselves understand death.
Yeah.
You know, and make death easier. Right? You know, not just dying, but also the idea of other people dying.
Yeah.
You know, so funerals and funerary rites and the idea of the underworld, all of this was created to help us figure out how to make sense of this crazy thing called death. You know? Mm. Oh, okay. Big thank you to Hansley Tama. Okay. Wow. Big green thank you.
Espra lit. Cry. Aww. I still got one more last confession plus someone I come minor mini confessions that I have for you.
Hey, Candy Chia just shared something. Hey. I hear death instead of smell death. I can hear the chains of hell before a funeral on the next day.
Okay. So we have background on Candy. Yeah? Candy was one of our confessor. I don't know whether you remember her. Future confessor.
Changi.
Yeah, she also went for our Changi walk. Actually, you can see things. And she can see things even through camera. Sometimes she tell me, Eugene, you know, yesterday when you went for this walk, then she was telling me, like, Candy, why you tell me? I can't do anything about it now. But it's Candy. And she's the one who drew the Old Changi Hospital and all the hantus for us for Supernatural Confession.
Yes. Talented the mugs.
Bukan, Max is not.
Candy. Oh, yeah, no, that's
Elaine. Elix.
Sorry, wrong.
So just so show, I want to show off the marks that I have. This is the one.
Nice.
Okay, so
mine is still in the box, so I cannot take out.
Yeah, I was thinking, should I keep in the box? Should I use that? I think no use is so wasted lah. Yeah, just use it.
I'm keeping it in the box, hoping that it will change shape. Every time I open, it will be different.
Okay, so I'm gonna share some stories with you tonight.
Come share.
Talking about premonition and omens, lah. This one is. Is it an omen? No, it's more of a warning, a portent.
Portent. You tell and we decide.
Okay. This was during my 2012-2014 era. If you read my Supernatural Confessions book,
You are Taylor Swift, is it? You got eras tour.
Okay. If you read this book, you will know that 2012 to 2014, I was going through some personal crisis, and now my faith was tested, my belief and courage was tested. So I think somewhere between 2012-2013, in the early days, I had a visit from an Indian man, a Sikh man, turban and all. This was in the office at Peace Center. I was on the third floor.
Okay.
And to find random people walking around Peace Centre is not uncommon. Peace Centre being an old mall that it is, you find some colourful characters around. But I was running a writing school targeted for children. So I don't usually get people knocking, trying to sell me anything. He walked in. I got two other staff there. And they all greeted him. Hello. He came in and says, I have a message for... Then he looked at me. He doesn't know my name. For that man. I said, okay, what's the message that you have? I'm not buying anything. He says, no. I have a message for you. I have a dream. And in my dream, I am to find you and to pass you this warning. And the warning, I cannot remember the details of that warning, but it would be, the context of it is, no matter how much I reject and struggle and disbelieve the spiritual world, it will come to me. And obviously now we know in 2024 where we are with regards to that. Okay, so he was right. He was right back then. But what was interesting about his foretelling is that he did not just give me the message and walked away. I think he probably knows that I didn't believe, or it's hard to believe. And he says, there will be three signs that I will predict that will happen to you within 7 days. So it's not like the other commenter, 6 months. It's not, it's 7 days, okay? Within 7 days. First one is, there'll be a lady with the name starting with the letter A. She's overseas. She's an old friend. She will call you up and ask you to do business. You must say no. Okay? Sure. B, a man would come by to ask you for food. Do not reject him. Give him, I think, was what, $10 or $11? Some very odd number. Very odd number. $11. In your pocket, from your pocket.
Okay.
And to be fair, to be honest, the last one I cannot remember. I don't want to make shit up, right? So he gave me three signs.
Okay.
And he did my fortune, everything. He gave me the message, and then he left. So I said, "Do you want money?" I kind of expected him to do this as a living or even as a con artist. And then he's like, "No, just message for you." And he left.
Okay.
It's like, didn't ask for money, nothing at all. Came by, dropped a message, and left. So all of us, so I had eyewitness or ear witness, a witness in the room, right? They were like, oh shit, this guy's so weird. Okay lah, it's Peace Centre, getting weird people is normal. A few days later, I got a call from this lady called Alicia. Or was it Amy? So someone in the letter A. Okay, obviously this story is 10 years, 11 years old. I really can't remember the details, but I can remember the context of it. So either Amy or Alicia called me up. And she's like, "Hey, Eugene, I'm so-and-so. I'm coming back to Singapore. And let's talk shop." Like, WTF? That's the first sign that came true. And do I want to talk business? Yes, usually I would. An opportunity is an opportunity. But this time I said, no.
No.
And I'm busy. I have my plate full. Thank you for thinking about me. I don't have the time to do it. Okay. And since then, I've never, ever heard of her ever again. Now, it could be said that, maybe that sick fella put her up to it, trying to do the long con, right? You don't take my money now, but it's a long con. Second time, I met this guy. We were all walking home. My colleague and I, we were all walking back down the stairs. And there was a beggar, like really disheveled. You can smell him a mile away, torn clothes. Walk up. There were four of us walking downstairs. He walked, he beeline straight to me. Made a beeline straight to me and says, "Something to eat?" And remember that was the line that the soothsayer said. "Someone will ask you for food, do not deny him." I said, "Sure." I pull out my money. I got $10 in my wallet. I got $1 coin in my pocket. What are the... I didn't even plan to have that money that day. You know, I would spend... Normal, like you spend, get change and everything. You would not have calculated every day you put aside $11. I did not. I was not even thinking about it. So why the third one, I can't remember, because the first two was already mind-blowing that I start paying attention to the third one. Yeah. And I've never seen the guy anymore. And this was, for me, a very personal first-hand encounter of someone coming to me with a message with they're able to predict everything so accurately within 7 days. And here I am in Supernatural Confession. So if someone comes up to me and says, Supernatural doesn't exist, everything is science and coincidence, it's very hard for me to go back and put a genie in the bottle and try to be ignorant or naive or, you know, really closing my eyes and pretending that the supernatural world doesn't exist.
I mean, so I'm in two minds, right, hearing this, right? Number one, of course, wow, it is impressive, the level of accuracy, you know? And I think being the person that's seeing these signs come true, it's really hard to deny the effectiveness, right? The validity. But I guess the question for me fundamentally is, what were these signs really trying to prove? You know, was it just because you looked skeptical and therefore these signs, because, you know, so if you didn't look skeptical, then he wouldn't have told you these three things, because it seemed to be conditional, ma. Right? If you believe me, then okay, bye. You look like you don't believe me. Fine. And then this whole drama comes up, right? So the scale of it feels weird. The scale of it feels weird, because the final result for me, of course, I mean, and it's a very broad prediction. He did not predict that you will have a channel called Supernatural Confessions. No. You know, he did not, right? So what he predicted was kind of, I would say, 50-50. Either you are a believer or you're not. It's a pretty broad kind of gamble. You know what I mean? Right? So I just feel the weird thing for me, right? The weird thing for me is why all that very specific set of omens for something that's very broad, unless there is something even more specific sort of in the background. Like, one day you will prevent a train derailment because of this, you know, rather than sort of you'll start a channel.
No, but you see, then again, it could be. So I think Sean Chen was saying something about that guardian angel, and I had thought about this for a bit. Like, who was that guy? Okay, I don't think he's an angel dressed in a sick man's outfit, checkered shirt, blue jeans, and a four leather belt. It could be. But these are the things that we always read in confessions across the last 10 years, that there will be someone who will come in to change the course of the future. Out there in the divine and the infernal side, there's always this game of tug of war, and we always think ourselves as a protagonist of a grand story, that we are we are so important in the grand scheme of things, right? So, but let's assume that that's the case. It could have been that if I did not believe, I could have gone off a different tangent. Maybe, who knows? This is all hypothesis. But he had to come and tilt the scale.
But did he? Did he tilt the scale?
I don't know.
It's my question, because, you know, the period you're talking about is, again, the 2012-2013, right? Yeah. I don't think there's any way that Eugene Tay would have emerged from that period and been a different Eugene who did not believe.
But you never know, right? You know, like, it's all it takes, that one nudge, then there's a domino effect.
But it wasn't, because this nudge that you speak about, it has never been a nudge that you've included in your story of how you got here.
No, yeah.
Right? Mm. Yeah. Everything else, I mean, everything you put in the book is the story of how you got here. This nudge is something you just remembered for the sake of this episode. Oh, so,
the Lord was not, works in mysterious ways.
It was not a pivotal nudge.
If
it had not happened, would your life have been very different? You know, is that were there no other pieces in place to, you know, if Alicia/Amy did not call you up?
Yeah.
You know, I feel that it's kind of like predicting everybody knows situation already.
It's like we're trying to shoehorn it on a hindsight, like, oh, that thing happened. It's just to shoehorn a meaning to it.
So to me, I think unless you say that there's something else, right? That it was a vague prediction, but there's a specific meaning behind it, and the point of you creating Supernatural Confessions and all this is not yet the destination. 10 years from now, you will still save a train from derailing because you smelt the fart and you believed it. the train driver was going to die and the train was going to derail. But because you ran SC, you knew what that smell meant.
Yeah, eh.
You put the around, train alarm and you save us all, okay? So
10 years more, wait. Yeah? You never know, wait. 10 years more.
I'm never going to take train with you. Okay.
Right, okay. So. I want to say, Isabella Rostar, she had a similar experience, but unfortunately for hers, the man asked her for $50 and she paid him.
Yeah.
Ala, there's difference, la, difference. Got difference here. Okay. One more story before we moved on. Before that, let's have a short message for you. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, if you are interested, we have Awaken Your Mind and Energy. This is conducted by host, community member, as well as confessor, Dr. Yong Kwan Yu. Have you ever wondered why some people sense entities and others do not? Are you a skeptic, but nonetheless curious about signs and cannot explain? So Dr. Kwan Yu, he is the podcast host for Science versus Spirituality. And tomorrow, he is running a workshop for Supernatural Confessions community members. If you're interested, click the link in the comment section above. It's pinned up there. Fill up the form. Session is at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Okay. And okay, so talking about premonition, right? Even in Singapore, there was one very famous case. Pulau Ubin. German Girl Temple.
The iconic.
Those of you who may not know about the German Girl Temple, I mean, most of you would know about German Girl if you're Singaporean or at least in Asia and you're interested in supernatural. German Girl Temple in Pulau Ubin is one of the most iconic spots in terms of supernatural. But not many people know about this German girl and how it came about. Now, long story short, there was this legend has it that a German girl died in Pulau Ubin. How she died is a matter of debate. Where she was buried is a matter of debate. One mainland Singaporean had a recurring dream about this German girl asking him to bring, no one else but him, to bring a doll over to Pulau Ubin. Now, that man who is living on mainland Singapore have not seen Pulau Ubin before, nor know anything about the legend of the German girl, but he had this recurring dream, and to put his dreams and curiosity at ease, he decided to buy a doll, take a bum boat over to Pulau Ubin, only to realize that whatever he has seen in his dreams were true. First time in his life, almost like a glitch in the matrix. You know, like you have seen it somewhere and you should not be able to know this information. He walked to the very spot where he had promised the girl to bring the doll, and he placed the doll there. Now, he's a Chinese man. What do you think he's going to do?
Pai pai,
and he say, popi, wa tio pe pio. He want to strike 4D, strike lottery. He went back to Singapore. Lo and behold, strike 4D.
Wow.
Yeah. So, how do we explain that whole idea about seeing this vision of the spirit wanting a doll? Premonition?
Much more specific than that. I think in this case, it was a spirit intervention. Right? She had to... Wow, she probably had to go to many people's dreams. All don't believe. Finally found one that believed. You know? Yeah, like, this one Christian cannot. Then this one, you know, finally, like, I mean, it's quite a random guy, right? You know, I'm thinking if I was the German girl, right? You know, why not one of the villagers? Someone on the island.
Yeah.
You know? If it's a shrine that you want, or if it's recognition that you want, then why not someone who already knows part of the story, who grew up with the legend, who cares, right? So why this stranger? That's an interesting question, you know. But of course, it makes it much more exciting, and it makes her much more powerful as well, because she could reach across the water, right? You know. But yeah, to me, it's not a premonition. This is really a visitation.
Visitation.
Yes, a direct be a different message. Yeah, you know.
Okay.
I mean, if it wasn't a dream, it would be even more scary. You will find this German girl standing in your bathtub, you know, or something. So luckily, it was a dream, right? Otherwise, the ghost will have to hunt you down and tell you, you know. But I mean, I'm curious because, okay, I've never asked this before, but what? When was this? What year? Which decade was this?
I have to find for you. Offhand now, I can't remember, but I have to find.
According to legend, it was during the rounding up of German residents in Singapore that this thing happened. So it would have been World War II, right? So this must have happened anywhere from 1945 onwards.
According to legend, it's not the Japanese. Mm. It's just the
British. By the British. Mm. Yeah. Because as soon as the war began, the Germans were rounded up. By the British. So it would have been, by the time the war ended and it was okay to go and buy Barbie dolls, right? it would have been 45. I don't know when Barbie dolls were invented, but okay, 45 onwards, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whether there's any better documentation of this man. Do the villagers remember this dude who came and did this thing?
Very good, John. I'm glad you asked that. Yeah. For you to find out the information, you need to sign up for my Walk with Hantu Pulau Ubin. No, I spoke to the temple lady.
Yes.
And she have a different version of the story. And she actually has a coin to show. She said she got this from the German girl. So there's many different variations. Okay. There's the mainstream version, the mothership version. Then hopefully Essie will bring you the real version from the horse's mouth while they are still alive.
The reason I ask is only because if this was the official version, there's no reason for this man to be a mystery. He would be seen as a patron. He would have been the first one to build the shrine, and the villagers would know about it. Yeah, the islanders would definitely. You can't secretly build a shrine. So he would be considered, someone important. Someone important, and enjoy the credit, right? Correct. So the fact that it's a bit of a anonymous situation.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder.
I also wonder.
We will find out. We will find out for you again, and we'll package it as a tour.
MSA will do the job for you. Thank you, MXR. What you see, you may not believe, and what you believe, you may not see. Mm. And when we come back from this advertisement, John, well, you have to read out the final confession for tonight.
I like it.
Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Confessions podcast. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support our efforts, you can help by giving us a 5-star review or by becoming a patron by signing up for a monthly membership fee that starts from as low as $5. Check out the perks at patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. That's patreon.com/supernaturalconfessions. Or if you feel like showing a simple gesture of appreciation, you can buy us a cup of coffee or two at buymeacoffee.com/superconfess. And now, let's get back to the show.
The signs are there. Confession by Jerry. This story took place when I was studying for my final year at Edinburgh Uni. As a poor university student, I can only afford a room in the topmost floor of an old walk-up apartment in the old town. It was a one-bedder in what looked like an attic. You have to climb 4 stories up and on the last level, climb a steep, narrow wooden staircase to reach my room. The place was old and musky, but livable. And since I was only going to be there for about 6 months and most of my time would be out anyway, I didn't mind it much. The first sign that something wasn't right was that I would find myself on the floor of my bed for almost 3 or 4 days in the first week. I never had a habit of rolling off the bed. And even when I was sleeping on the top bunk during my National Service days, I never once fell out of my bed. I thought to myself, maybe the attic floor was slanted lah. Did I feel it was strange that I didn't wake up when I fell out of bed? Well, I don't have an explanation for that, so I just ignored it. It didn't occur to me at that time that the place was haunted until the 3rd week. But first, let me tell you about the 2nd week. Remember I said the room smelled old and musky? During the 2nd week, I began to smell burnt wood. The very strong smell of burnt wood. What's strange about this phenomenon is that the smell of this burning wood is not all-encompassing. It was contained in a sphere that floated about 3 feet above the ground. How was I able to be so specific? I could literally pop my head in and out of that space and smell the difference in atmosphere. I followed it out of my room and the smell would be gone. But when I went back to my room again, the smell of burning wood would come back. I decided to ignore it. Told myself that it was just people burning wood because it's winter and totally legitimate. Did I not think it's weird? Yeah, but how else to explain? So just ignore lah. When the third week rolled round, I would be getting dream sequences of a tall, shadowy entity standing in the middle of the room, pointing at the staircase leading out of the room. I could be reading, not even sleeping, and my mind would drift off into a daydreaming state, and I would get that vision. Since I couldn't get any incense or hell notes from anywhere in the area, I settled for candles and a bottle of whiskey by way of offerings. It didn't work. I was still getting those dreams throughout the week. Now it was Saturday. I was already in bed by then, when this time I had the most forceful dream of all. I woke up, truly shaken, and I packed my bags in a hurry and just got out of that place. I can't remember the content of that dream, but the feeling I got was intense fear. Fear that my life would be in danger if I stayed one more night. So I packed my bags and I spent the night at my classmate's place. The next morning, I woke up to a ton of missed calls and emails. There had been a raging fire that tore through the whole building, possibly minutes, if not an hour, before I left the place. Chances are, if the ghost of the attic hadn't warned me, I wouldn't be here relating this experience to you. This one. Power.
What do you like about it?
I like the specificity of the communication. No nonsense. You know, I give you a little clue first, then another clue. And then my third week, I'm like, okay, I'm just pointing to the staircase, okay? Go downstairs now. Right? And, you know, I mean, maybe because that spirit was working on a timeline. So, you know, got deadline. You have 3 weeks to warn this person. You know, right? And he had to pull out all the tricks out of a hat. You know, I'm going to give you a sphere of smell, you know, all these things. And then finally, you just have to, you know, shock him out of the place, right? And I mean, the time limit is wonderful. It's not vague. You know, it's literally, you know, a minute more, right? If he had just fallen asleep and ignored the dream, that's it. You know, that's wonderful. Also, the fact that it is clearly, I mean, to me, it is a visitation also. I feel it's something off from that place.
Raven is saying guardian angel. So I think with regards to such things, the visitation, every time we are safe, we say it's guardian angel.
Every time Sway is not.
You know? Like,
yeah. I mean... Okay, like I mean, guardian angel first of all is a very specific concept that you know some faiths believe in and some don't, right? You know, a guardian spirit is probably a broader concept of it, you know. But I mean, for me, I don't know, man. To me, it feels like something that belonged there, you know, something that was there, something that was empathetic to this poor student, you know, trying to get an education in this tiny little room and just wanted to do something nice, you know. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you look at it from another perspective, it could be you know, that it's something that is.
Was it? So the question now that I have in my head is, because someone said guardian angel, you say doing something nice. And I know how much of a hantu sympathizer you are. Could it be that this ghost is just trying to get rid of him? This is my place. Screw you, get out. Then coincidentally, the timing of him running away and being frightened coincides with the fire. The spirit had no intention to save him.
But what did the spirit have an intention to let the place burn down?
The fire may not have started from the attic. It could have started from somewhere else that the spirit now says, shit, I can't help it. You know, I finally got him out of my attic.
Yeah. It's like, I want it all to myself. Ha ha ha.
Right? So that could be two different things. We are assuming that the fire is he's trying to save him. But I get that. I like the thing that there is that entity who are there to like get out now for your own good. That's a heartwarming story. But on the other hand, it could be the spirit who says, this is my ethic. Get out. It's been trying for 3 weeks. And the spirit says, rejoice, I've done it. And then...
then not over a candle in his celebration. Like, yay, now
even,
I can drink.
Not even
I
him.
Can drink, I can drink the offering of whiskey with your candle. Oops.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's a difference between the story being jang, jang, jang and the story being kwa, kwa, kwa. Okay, so that's the kwa, kwa, kwa version. Okay? when portents go wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I feel that there is... Again, I would call this a visitation more than anything else. Whether or not it is the guardian spirit, or whether or not it's the spirit of the ethic, right? Which he calls it the spirit of the ethic. So somehow he seems to think that he didn't think it's his guardian angel.
Yeah.
Right. So what does he know that he didn't include in the confession that led him to, you know, sense that it is a stranger, not connected to him, but just connected to where he was, right? Maybe it felt very angmo.
No, because he walked into the room, he felt. Really not right. And this is like old town Edinburgh, four stories walk-up apartment. If anyone been to Edinburgh or New York, it's old. Cobblestones. Yeah. This place is like hundreds of years old. William Wallace time, you know. It is nice. I love it. I love being there as a visitor, but I can also imagine if you're going to stay there and you're going to pay rent, it's not cheap.
Mm.
And if between paying high rent of a place I cannot afford and paying low rent to a place that is haunted, we all know what as Asians we're going to do. And what I found was really cute is I cannot find any place to buy joystick or help people. I bought candles and whiskey. Because, what, Scottish ghost, is it? Must drink whiskey.
No, like candles for him, whiskey for me, lah, right? But, okay, is Jeffrey Singaporean, right?
Yeah, Singaporean.
So this is the problem with people who do not discover supernatural confessions, you see. Then when you spend a whole week waking up on the floor, you don't know what the hell is going on. Right? So now that there is supernatural confessions, place, all right, you know the signs, okay? So there were omens, okay? Waking up on the floor is a freaking omen, right?
So you notice, John, sometimes when I, you know, this confessions go off, then it sounds like the confessor has asked a question, then he replies, right? That's actually me asking the question. That's really, right? So you kind of get where the narrative is. Because I would be very curious, like, wait, hold on. Let me pause you there. You find yourself waking up on the floor and you didn't think anything. You'd be like, I couldn't explain that, so I ignore. I'm like, hey, what the fuck?
But okay lah, I mean, as in the case of horror movies, same thing, right? That if there wasn't this type of people, then there would be no stories to tell, right? So there will be no confessions to share if every story was, the first night I woke up on the floor, I got out of there.
The end.
The end, I moved into the Marriott. End of story.
Then the second one's like, okay, so the bed, I understand, right? Cannot explain first time, you may have rolled off. I get that. He said, I thought the old building, the floor was...
Clearly not there to study engineering.
But if it's engineering, I'll be worried for our country.
Conduct an experiment, roll a marble, find out. You know? I really, a bit paisei for an Asian to be experiencing this. Okay? Should have known better. Your parents should have told you more stories. But okay, I'm glad you made it. And next time you go Edinburgh, you better watch.
I'm glad you found supernatural confessions, lah. Now you won't be able, like, the ball of smell is moving around. What you do? I ignore, lah. Now winter people burn wood.
So next time you go there, okay. So if this had happened during the supernatural confessions time, we would be live streaming from that bedroom every night. Okay, just to watch him get put on the floor. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be so amazing. Yeah. But great that you had your help, whether it was from the ethic angel or whether it was the guardian angel.
The ethic angel.
Did you go back and offer more candles and a bit of whiskey?
He did not. No gratitude on this guy.
Was gone. the building was gone.
Matthew was burned.
Oh my goodness. But I like this as the last story because it packs a punch. It packs a punch. How not to believe, I ask you.
Just ignore. Find a reason. Shoehorn inside, you know. Don't question.
How frustrating that spirit must have felt. Like, right? This guy.
This Asian man just don't not getting any hints.
That's a short film we must make. Okay, yeah. frustrated Irish ghost trying to convey a Scottish. Sorry, frustrated yeah. Scottish ghost. Ah, you're so cute. Wow. Okay. Quite nice. I think overall, you know, there are a lot of ways that these premonitions come to us, right? Mm. You know, we've got very specific and direct ways. We've got dreams. We've got strange omens that are third-party things that can be interpreted, you know, and I think it's really hard to there's no system there's no system to decide what level of premonition is necessary for what level of emergency. You know, sometimes you get three warnings in 1 week just about a general life direction that you would have chosen anyway. You know, and other times you get, you know, all sorts of strange charades when it's something freaking urgent, like a fire is going to happen. So I guess the important thing is to be a little bit prepared for these things, you know, so that if they ever come your way, don't be clueless. Don't be clueless. You know, be the successful confession, right? You know?
I like what Day Lily Sweet says. Got to be SC trained.
Yes, correct. You need to have your MFA training, okay? MSA training.
You know what? I mean, John, just for kicks and giggles, right? We know we should have like put all this knowledge down into a 22-page exam paper that we have that basic advance, and you all can feel free to download and take this exam. And let's see how many you score.
Must have diploma. Must get diploma.
Yeah. Certificate of knowledge, man. Then got range, lah. All the way to master level.
And supernatural affairs diploma.
Skills Future, right? Some of you 40 plus, right? Got work. Skills Future $4,000. Can use.
This is the most important skill. The most important. The skill to see the future. Okay? Yeah. Skills Future. What better way to spend it?
Para Hantu Cert. Oh my God. You guys are hilarious. I'm reading the comment section now. I'm laughing.
Let's do it. SC Academy. Okay, let's do it.
try applying for your next job, and then your boss asks you, can you show me your certifications, and you proudly show your SC cert.
Yeah. With your badge that says Karas. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. What about John? What about you? Have you had any encounters with the paranormal, premonition, omen? If not premonition, at least omens, lah. Have you?
I mean, if I say that I have, then I must have been very dense because I never figured it out. So I probably told myself, the floor is slanted.
You know? Before SC lah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think I've said this to the SC community before, but you know, I live in a house where all sorts of omens could go by, and I'll think, it's the fish, it's the cats. You know, a hantu would have a really tricky time spooking me, with short of giving me a full on Halloween Horror Nights scare, right? Otherwise, I will not get it.
You know what? Like a short film I want to do is a sympathetic scene of all the hantus, the Scottish hantu, the hantu in your house, all sitting down together complaining about the humans they have to live with. This guy, I tell you, I try to give him hints, everything. The guy just won't get this.
Yeah. Poor thing. I feel I don't recall growing up with any encounters of this sort, you know, and And hearing all these stories tonight, you know, it leads me to think I'm in the position of that first confessor's parents, you know, who like, I'd rather not know. Mm. You know, I'd rather not know because I don't know if I will cope well with that burden. Mm. Right? You may think you know what you will do, I will plan things, I will da da da. But then once you have that knowledge, it could well go the other way, it could poison you. Mm. You know? So I it's not knowledge that I think mankind is able to deal with, you know, and it sends us off on a tangent, and that is the most unpredictable part, right? So I'd rather be clueless. I'm okay, you know. Unless, of course, there's something you can do about it, lah.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, but then it's a real warning, right? It's a real warning. But if it's just going to be a foreshadowing, it's okay.
I'm going to read some of the comments that we have missed out just now. Alsatian Adrian Chua, hello Alsatian, not working today. Confessor said, save this Hantu in his past life. Confessor reborn, Hantu not reborn. Now Hantu save Confessor life. Ah, I mean, I can see where we are going with this. We want to believe this narrative because it's a feel good. GF00 says, what about the burning smell? Was that a warning? Foreshadowing of the fire to come?
Yeah.
So he GF00 picked on a very right point to talk about in this confession, because why that burning smell, John? We have not addressed that.
No, I mean the logical answer would be that after dumping him out of bed and him not getting the hint, then the next hint is, this is what's coming. Burning fire, you know, and you still don't get a hint, then I have to physically appear and point at the staircase. Exit sign here, you know.
I still didn't work.
Yeah, so for me it's escalating, right? It's just escalating. But I just thought of another meaning, another sort of solution to the whole to the whole story. Maybe the spirit wasn't trying to save him from the fire, was trying to chase him out. And because he didn't get the clue of the smell of burning, in the final week, the spirit produced fire and accidentally burned down the house.
Wow, it's like the I cut off my nose to punish my face, is it?
Correct. Angry from smell, angry until boom, catch fire. Right?
Can't have this ethic, no one can.
Yeah. So who knows, right? Yeah, so that could have been it. That could totally have been it. I think that what's his name? Jeffrey? Jerry. You need to go and research the history of that house.
Yeah.
Right. Every old house in Edinburgh would have a history, right? We should, you know, at least tell us and let us go and dig. You know, let's find out what happened there before. What that spirit might have been. You know, maybe it's a house that catches fire every few years because it's cursed. We don't know, right? You know, so let's find out.
Okay. I spoke to Jerry and he's like, at that point in time when he was, you know, going through this, he was not a supernatural person. But 3 years after listening to Supernatural Confessions, now he knows.
Not after a spirit saved you from a fire. No, not after that. But after meeting Eugene. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so we're about to hit out of the end for tonight. 11:35. 11:45, our featured confession tonight. And this is from Vikas. Vikas is... audience of Supernatural Confessions, a fan of Supernatural Confessions from India.
Ah.
His HR profession is also practicing Vedic astronomy.
Nice.
And why he's doing Vedic astronomy is his family, the entire life, very sway, very sway. First house, second house, third house, all haunted.
Wow.
And because today we are talking about signs and things that come. John, I would love for you to hear, or for all of you, please watch this confession. Let me know, at which point would you, as a Supernatural Confession, you know, certificate holder, would have GTFO, but not VKS and family. They go, it's a nice house. We're going to stay, despite all the signs. And then shit hits the fan. So, but it was so terrible. Laughing matter aside, he said to me, right, I was prepared for my mother to die. Because she was vomiting blood, she couldn't stand. That's how bad it was. So it's all fun and games for about omens and premonition tonight, saving Jerry's life and all. But in VK's confession, that shit got real pretty fast. That almost cost their life. And then eventually they leave the house. You have to watch to find out.
Wow.
for this one, the Patreon bonus confession is about 18 minutes long.
Nice.
Because Vikas was very detailed in the way he explained a lot of things, which I felt is great for patrons, but not great for a generic mainstream listener who has no attention span beyond 10 minutes. Right? So today's confession feature is 12 minutes. Great for everyone. If you love the details, his family, what happens, the Hindu version of Feng Shui, it's all in the Patreon bonus tracks.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. Before we go, I want to read this message from Super Noob. Hi Eugene, long time watcher here. Your videos have helped me bond with my mom more and more over the years. If I could ask though, could subtitles make a return?
Super Noob, subtitles have been making a return in the last three episodes already.
Yay.
And I spent actually a few hours. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, it takes me a few hours doing subtitles, even with YouTube's help. And I feel that subtitles really help because you guys have asked it. The reason why I stopped doing subtitles is it's time that I cannot afford. But I know it's important, especially for Vikas. Vikas, he's from India, so he has a very strong accent. Even sometimes I have difficulty understanding. There's nothing wrong with him. It's just we just have that subtitles would help. So today, confirm guarantee you got subtitles.
But I don't know whether Supernoob is asking about subtitles in the featured confession or in the actual live stream when it's uploaded.
Oh, live stream uploaded. Okay lah.
Yeah.
Closed caption lah.
I don't know. But yeah, Supernoob, please tell, let us know more in detail. What so, how many more hours of Eugene's sleep we want to take up?
Oh, man. Okay.
Hey, people tell you born with the mom or you don't
want to. You say that like that. Say that. Cannot say no, right?
His mom is asking you.
Okay.
But thank you, Supernoob. Thank you very much. And it's great to know that watching this, you know, it gives you stuff to talk about with your mom.
Okay. Supernoob, next week. I cannot promise, but let me try to. I have this function that I can actually run closed caption on our live stream. Which means John and I cannot use Singlish. We must speak in proper English.
I think it'll be even funnier when the closed caption has to deal with the Singlish. And how it spells all these Hantu names, I think will be highly entertaining. So try lah. Next week we try lah.
We try.
Next week we try. Okay, we whack.
So before we say goodnight, I have one joke that might get me cancelled. If anyone asks me where I got this joke from, I just tell them it's from Jason Lim, okay?
Okay, who is not here tonight, so he cannot defend.
He was.
Okay.
No, it's not him. Like, it's from a friend of mine.
Yikes.
I felt it was so good, but I trust that this is the end of the night. Most young kids are asleep.
Okay.
That none of you is going to report me and cancel me, okay? Can we agree to that? If you're easily offended, now is the time to mute your speaker.
Okay.
I give you 5 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. John.
Yes.
Have you heard about the movie about the hungry, angry Malay man during the month of Ramadan?
No.
It's called The Fast and Furious. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. We are your hosts. It's Jonathan, any last words, sir?
No, after that, there's nothing left to say.
And for me, may you find the serenity to accept the things you can't change, the courage to change the things that you can, and the wisdom to know which is which. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
See you next week.
See you next week on Featured Confession starting in 5 minutes. See you there. Bye-bye.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Raise your head to the skies. This is how we all began. See the fire in your eyes. Feel the yearning deep within. Take a leap and you will fly. With all the wishes that you own, make your dreams light up the sky. Home is where you're not alone, and our hearts will beat together, echoing what dreams may come, walking tall in any weather. Time has come, bang the drum, 'cause tomorrow's here today. Dream away, take the world by the hand, 'cause tomorrow's here today. Dream away, come let's go right away, 'cause tomorrow's here today.